from my perspective, the mission started out as a very typical, let's check this out. Let's check this these bushes out. There's probably bodies in there. We've been shooting them up, so on and so forth. Very typical mission. I would point out that this was a period, at times it's also pointed out, that there was real turnover in the troop at the time. And I had a platoon sergeant, and Bill, one of our squad leaders, were held back because they were going out in a day or two, D-Rose. And myself, I had a January D-Rose, this is the 29th. So we didn't really manage that real well. A lot of new people in, and the landing itself was a little different than what we'd been doing. And that is, we came in five ships and landed right up nose to the wood line where these BC had spotted. We didn't usually do that, and I didn't usually like to do that, because what you want to do is get out some distance away, set up a base of fire, maneuver around, and if you've got anybody in the wood line, you've got a whole several machine guns and rifles to really drench the wood line on your own, much less the overhead air support. So there we are, and my first thought was, this is not good, let's get into the woods, and we'll get straightened out once we're not such a target. So I fell in behind the first squad, five ships like this. I fell in behind the first squad, and which is what we usually do. We started in the woods. The point man on that squad probably got about 50 feet, 5 feet into the woods when the shooting started. And it was turns out later, from a trench line, prepared positions, angle, about like this for me, was just pouring fire on us. The first squad took the brunt of it. I was hit in the flank. Probably would have died if it hadn't hit my web gear and magazines and hand grenades. So lost an awful lot of blood. But and then Sergeant Pickett, the second squad, was also hit right below the eye and was killed. So I'm there. Next to me is my RTO, and nearby is the section. We couldn't fire forward because we didn't know who was still alive up there. And at that point, my only thought was to protect the radio and to get air support, which we got. And the most memorable part of that, the many memorable part of that, the first thing that happened that I think was key, is a light scout coming in over that trench line and just kind of pinwheeling with the door gunner like this, just drenching it, continuous fire of that M60 for about, seemed like a minute. And that was probably the thing that stopped their firing, and or at least quelled it a great deal. We're in good radio contact then. The gunships were on station and starting to fire. After the first 2 or 3 minutes, we were getting maximum fire support. So let's draw a dotted line there. Now would be a very good time to hear from the gunners and see what they saw. The rest of the, let me just go a little bit further. Tom mentioned this crater. I don't remember a crater. Certainly when I went down, there were bullets going through my clothes and fingers and everything else, and it was no crater. I'm not sure got into the crater, except maybe the...
From the air, it looked to be a crater almost the size of this room from here. And it looked like it had been either a 750-pound bomb or one of the bombs from the B-52.
Yeah.
It didn't have water in the bottom, so it couldn't have been too deep. Most of the...
Well, there certainly wasn't any cover when I was hit. We were on pretty flat ground. So somebody got me into that crater, and I'll assume it was the medic. At any rate, from that point on, I was on the radio, and we were receiving the fire support, excellent fire support, on target, continuous, and hurt. I mean, within 10 minutes of the start of the engagement, I think they were pretty much quelled. at that point, I had no fear we were going to be attacked.